Hello and welcome to the Loving Truth podcast, formerly known as Ordinary Church. We are excited to be with you. I'm Connor, I'm joined by Mike, and we're going to jump right in. This is a little bit of a strange one. We're actually picking up a conversation that we began, Mike, on your podcast, the Humble Bold podcast, which you had me on as a guest on. But we're picking up a conversation, what do you do when believers disagree, and specifically over theological questions? So we began a conversation kind of beginning to wade into the idea of how do you approach those kinds of disagreements. And we're talking about something that's outside of probably those core convictions that we would say constitute Christian orthodoxy. But how do you be humble and bold in engaging with a believer who's at a different place, you know, than you on a theological issue? So we're picking it up. And Mike, we're just going to pick up the question that you kind of left us with, which is there a place for repentance after maybe somebody comes to a realization that they have compromised a right, I guess, you know, handling of the Bible or obedience to what Jesus is saying to us in the scriptures because of like cultural pressures or other things that have just caused them to maybe drift away. When someone's coming back to a certain conviction, is there a place for repentance? Let me just kick it to you, Mike. Where would you first want to go with that? Mm-hmm. And then we'll just see where the conversation goes.
Yeah, thanks so much, Connor. So let me take us back to Ephesians chapter 4, just the body life. Remember, our context here is tight. We're talking about fellow believers, people that really have a real testimony. We're not questioning their salvation or anything like that. Like sometimes people will be like, how can that person hold that view and be a Christian? We're not going there at all, okay? What we're saying is, let's assume that everyone in the mix is a believer, and as Ephesians 4 tells us, our unity comes from our union with Christ, right? And that, you know, we didn't ask for salvation or think it up. God did it. And he then put us in the body to have love and unity and peace and moving in the same direction on the mission that God set his church upon. And I think about Ephesians 4:15, which says, 4:14, that we may no longer be children, okay? And what that, it stems from this, where it says that God gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip the saints. So God gave gifted men, not gifts to everyone, but gifted men to build up the church and equip the saints for the work of ministry, to build up the body of Christ until we all attain to the unity of the faith. So we have this unified faith and the knowledge of the Son of God. So from the Word of God, the knowledge of the Son of God, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, mature manhood, so that we would no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine. So we wouldn't be tossed to and fro, but by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Rather, verse 15, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, okay? And the whole body is joined together and held together. So what we're talking about is a unity that already exists, that we are to grow into, lean into, support, okay? And the church being the pillar and support of the truth, we are to love the truth, we are to love the people of the truth, we love Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life, and we do that together, but we struggle with our own desire for personal autonomy, as we mentioned previously, mm-hmm. Sometimes at the expense of biblical truth. Sometimes we let those cultural pressures lead us. We make decisions. We have to own it. We make decisions that maybe doesn't always fit with our deepest conscience or our convictions. And we make an expedient thing. And sometimes we do it to keep the peace. Meaning, that doesn't mean there's full peace. It means that we don't want to make a big deal, and it's not, we're just doing the math, and we're just going to go, let's not, you know, make this into a big deal, okay? And I think there's a place for that all the time. We do this all the time. Mm-hmm. We don't walk into a room and get our way on everything, and wouldn't that be weird if we could? We shouldn't ever do that. We shouldn't demand our way in all these settings. But when we're talking about the Word of God, we don't want to be unkind to each other, but we know that sometimes we or others might be sincerely wrong. We've done the work in the Word, and we've come to a conclusion that at the end of the day, we will someday find out was inaccurate. Or we can look in church history and know that it's inaccurate. And then one more thing I want to throw out.
Yeah.
That it's, you know, this is a kind of a bomb in the middle of the room as well. Let me throw this one out. Could it be, and I am so thankful for all the books I'm surrounded by in this office right now. I'm so thankful for all the Greek and Hebrew helps and all the commentators and all that. Could it be that the sheer magnitude of resources has caused us to get away from the bare word of God that is easily believed? Okay, that the bare word of God is easily believed. You pick up a Bible, you read it, and the common sense of it, the plain sense of it, is usually the sense and meaning of it. Yes, there are some things difficult to understand and need to be explained and all of that, but could it be that the sheer magnitude of and we say God has blessed us with all of these great resources, but as we both know, when we look in some of our Bible study resources, especially online, some of those resources that they pack into those packages are not good at all. Mm. And we tell people to stay away from them. Mm-hmm. So anyway, well, I don't know. I threw a lot out there.
Right. There's a lot there. Yeah. Well, I think one thing that just to maybe kind of, you know, I agree with you. I think we can let resources come in and immediately kind of, it's even easy if you come across a tricky passage in scripture, something that doesn't immediately click, like, oh, I see what that's saying, to just, you know, throw a handout for the study Bible or for that, you know, Google, hey, what does Matthew 6:14 mean? Right.
Yeah.
And then just let Google's AI spit something at you and you go, oh, that makes sense. So instead of doing that work of praying and wrestling and maybe talking with somebody, you know, that's probably a better way to approach the scriptures. I was just going to observe that the fact that you can open, quote, the bare word of God in part is because of archaeologists and textual critics and Greek and Hebrew scholars and just a long string of people, you know, and translators who now give us this nice, you know, calf skin, goat skin, leather bound ESV or whatever it is, right? LSB Bible to say, oh, I'm opening the bare word of God. Well, they're actually, whether you see it or not, there is a lot of work behind that. So that's just maybe something to acknowledge. Hmm. Mike, I know there's so much that we could say about this, but I was just going to come, you know, quickly back to the more kind of basic original question. Just how do you approach someone that you're disagreeing with? Do you feel like, would you push back against this at all? I've been feeling recently like I could benefit, and I think probably a lot of people could benefit from having a higher bar in terms of my personal clarity on various kind of theological issues and different convictions that I might hold. I want a higher bar in terms of my clarity about what do I think, first of all, about God? And what do I think about God's kind of plans in the world and in history? What do I think about the church? What do I think about eldership? What do I think about the gifts? What do I think about, you know, and on it goes. What do I think about different kind of philosophy of ministry type questions? I want to have high clarity myself on those different questions. And at the same time, I almost want to have, I don't know if I'd say a lower bar, because that sounds like you're like walking down the road toward compromise or something. But I want to have an appropriately low bar when it comes to, hey, who's in the camp? I want it to be the bar that the scripture set in terms of kind of what it means to be a follower of Jesus. And I think that sometimes we can accidentally import some of our personal convictions about this or that, you mm-hmm. know, maybe kind of theological question into that matrix in terms of, well, this is what someone needs to believe to be a, quote, faithful Christian.
Yeah.
But that bar can be actually pretty low. Like, Jesus is Lord. I believe in the triune God. I worship him. Yeah. I'm saved by just trusting Jesus, you know? Yeah. Like, I'm pretty good with that person, honestly. Yeah. So.
Okay, you know what's funny about that? I'm going to, like, majorly disagree with you right now.
Okay, yeah. Yeah. No,
with
that's
a
great.
Smile. With
that's
a great. Smile. No animosity whatsoever. I've thought what you've said many, many times.
Okay, yeah.
But then but as you're saying it, I'm thinking, whoa, hold on.
Yeah.
Can I try to rephrase or
definitely,
reframe?
Definitely, yeah.
What about this? A real Christian believes the whole Bible.
Okay.
And a real Christian has a conscience that is held captive by the word of God.
Okay.
When we're going to all agree on these things.
Yeah.
But then I wouldn't say the bar is set low. I say we set the bar higher. I was just reading, here, let me tell you why. I was just reading, it's called the State of the Bible Report, and it's by the American Bible Society and Barna and this and that. And some of it's kind of silly. Like, seriously, you go, really? You know, because they set the bar so low. Yeah. They say, Bible readers are people who read the Bible three times a year.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
And I'm not joking. Three times a year.
I believe it.
And that like Bible committed people are ones that read the Bible, you know, and the bar is so low, it is laughable. Hmm. And I get when we say, but if you love Jesus and all that, but the thing is that the follow-up to that is, but if you love Jesus, then you love the Word. Because Jesus says, your word is truth. He says to the Father.
Right.
And so you take the whole, Jesus literally said, if you follow me, you're gonna do what I say.
Yeah.
And so, and not just the red letters, okay? So right. I'm saying that let's set the bar higher. And in one sense, Connor, you know, maybe for juiciness, I said, I'm gonna disagree with you. But if you think about it, we're kind of coming from this, we're coming at the same thing almost just at a different angle. You're not going to say you shouldn't believe the whole Bible.
Of course
okay?
not.
And so, right. And so yeah. the idea, but I think let's raise the bar that like all these surveys that get done nowadays, literally they say, here's the people who say they're Christians. And you're like, but that's not a biblical Christian. It's just not a biblical Christian. Now, I'm not saying that you were saying loving Jesus and all that and loving the Word, but I'm saying that means much more than we think. And that it does mean that we will reject certain things and accept certain things. And it does mean that we kind of like carrying our little proverbial bucket of rocks in the room.
Right.
If our beliefs don't measure up to the Word rightly handled, and we're not trying to be arrogant about this, but the Bible does have true meaning that we need to get to. And everyone doesn't always get to it. And we shouldn't go around going, oh, we're right and everybody's wrong. But we should want to have believers, if we want pastors and elders to do 2 Timothy 2:15 and study to show their sons approved unto God, a workman that does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, then we want the people who they're preaching to, like 2 Timothy 4, preach the word, and the time will come when they're going to have their ears tickled. That no, like Titus, don't let anyone disregard you. So I think there's a place to stand up and go, I think the bar's higher than we think sometimes. That's what I was.
No, I love it. I feel like I can be pretty much lockstep with you.
Yeah.
Because I think maybe two thoughts. One, the person who's out there who's like, I'm a Christian, but they don't care about the Bible.
Yeah.
That person I have a major issue with.
Right.
Because what else are we looking to, right?
True.
So I think I was thinking, and maybe I should have clarified, I'm thinking of the person who says, I do care about the scriptures.
Yes.
But they may say, and I think that they're saying this. Mm-hmm. And we would say, we don't think they're saying that. We think they're saying this.
Right.
That person, I want to be able to be, if they're saying Jesus is Lord, I'm a worshiper of the triune God, I trust Jesus for salvation, I want to be able to say, hey, I think we're in the same big family here, but we disagree about this or that. Now, I'm really scared for the person who says, I'm a follower of Jesus, but personally, I don't really care too much about what the Bible says. I just believe in Jesus, mm-hmm. but then I kind of think what makes sense to me. That's a different conversation, right? So I think that's an important thing to clarify, definitely. Mm-hmm. And the only second thing I think is, and this is where, again, I agree with you, in the areas where God has given me or anybody influence, I think it's best to try to promote the understandings that I do think are most accurate, right, with scripture. So I don't think I'm not thinking of any pastor, for example, saying, well, I have all these convictions, but when I preach or teach, I basically just tell people, well, believe whatever you want as long as you think Jesus is Lord.
True.
Or if I'm a dad or a husband, I'm not thinking, well, you know, my wife or my kids can just think anything. I'm going to try to shape their understanding to be as accurate as I think it can be. And that's where I think my personal clarity becomes so important, because I don't want to pass along unknowingly something that's inaccurate, you know, and I do, but I don't want to as much as I can help it. So that's kind of where I'm at on that. Yeah.
I like what you just said. And, you know, I like to say OGK, right? Only God knows. There's certain things where I remember when MacArthur and Sproul went toe to toe on baptism, believer's baptism or infant baptism.
Yeah.
And, you know, at the end of the day, they're like, hey, let's go have dinner. You know?
Yeah. Exactly. Yes.
Now, the thing is, they both sincerely think the other guy is wrong. But they know they're true believers. No one's going to question that, right?
Right.
So I get that. I think partly what I struggle with is that I have, you know, friends in ministry, pastor friends, that are literally using all the commentaries and other exegetical things that they can get to that I completely disagree with.
Yeah.
Right? And then it's like, to make points that I'm like, that was already settled, you know, this many years ago.
That's a really,
And I don't know. That's what's tough.
Right.
And I know at the end of the day, we are not the final arbiter of truth, okay? But at the end of the day, I don't think that God tells us to throw our hands up. I think we kind of, in one sense, okay, remember when you and I were in Zambia and I was teaching and the guy stood up, young guy stood up and says, basically said, I don't agree with anything you're saying. And I was talking about the sufficiency of scripture. God speaks through the scripture. He doesn't give you words in your head and all of that. And an older man raised his hand and said, can I have permission to speak? The guy stands up and addresses the young man and says, I do not think I'm better than you, but you are wrong. Mm. Well, interestingly, we don't know how that turned out. The other guy might have gone his way going, well, you're wrong, you know? And maybe he's come to a different realization of like, God has opened his eyes to the truth, and this guy, maybe he's mentoring him. Who knows? Wouldn't it be interesting to know?
Yeah, like, it would.
Yeah. Anyway, so I think we got to end the conversation, but I think the conversation continues, and we again cling to scripture and the word and the word and Christ, scripture and Christ.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Amen. That's a great place to end. I think that this is probably just good fuel for more thinking and conversation, like you said. So listeners, thanks for joining us. We love you. If we know you at Grace, we're thankful for you, and we'll talk to you next time on the podcast. God bless you and have a great day.